Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
How you doing, bro?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode, episode 22 of season number 2. This main topic for today's podcast will be about the teams that have been on a streak. I call it streak week because there's been three teams in mind that really gone on a streak. And as you know, there's a week and 4 days left of the season. And this is when you want to be playing your best ball.
You would hope so. You would hope so.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to. There's two things you're trying to do. Either trying to win your division, or you're trying to just get into the last wild card spot, like the Giants and
You're trying to clinch something.
Arizona, just jumped San Francisco. Anyway, the three teams that came to mind. The first one is the Seattle Mariners. As of today, they're currently they have a 10-game winning streak. They've been one of the hottest teams, and they surpassed or tied the Astros for the American League West. At the trade deadline or even at this All-Star break, I was like, Houston's going to win that division. They were just so good. Seattle was barely getting by. They only had one guy carrying him, and that's Cal Raleigh, who just the other day hit his 56th home run. He leads all catchers.
Cheater. Record. Yeah, we spoke about that. That's that. You know, he's DHing on his days off. He's cheating.
Listen, whether you're DHing or catcher,
because the record is for catchers. You know what I'm saying? So the home runs, right, that he hit as a DH shouldn't be counted. Exactly. And you know what? I stand on that. Because you're breaking, greats like Johnny Bench's record, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man. You're doing that, but you're cheating. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're a catcher, but you're a DH as well. So those home runs you hit as a DH, separate those from the ones he hit as a catcher for him to be able to break that record. You know what I'm saying? So on the days that he was on his knees, you know what I'm saying? Hurting. He was still hitting, cracking them over the fence. You know what I'm saying? Those are the days that shit counts. Excuse my French, but
when he's catching, he's catching more than DHing, But you know what? You could say that about you could say the same thing when Aaron Judge broke his all-time home run record. There was days where he was just DHing, not fielding.
Yeah, but he was hitting every day. Period. You know what I'm saying? He's a fielder. He's a fielder, so that doesn't,
Yeah, but there were times he wasn't fielding.
It doesn't matter. But at that point, you know what he's racing for? He's racing for the home run. Let's see who gets the home run championship going. So that's what he's going for. Home run race. He's not going for anything else. I mean, this guy's going for that too. You know what I'm saying? At the same time. But we're talking about breaking a specific record. You know what I'm saying? So if those guys prior to him, especially if they played in the National League, right? There was no slot for him. There was no DH. There was no slot for Johnny Bench to you know what I'm saying, accumulate more homers. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think so. It's not fair.
Now, yeah.
And if the Reds played in the American League, then Johnny Bench could have DH'd on his days off. You know
or
what I'm
they just had universal DH like we do now.
You know, but that wasn't the case back then. So how is that fair for Mr. Bench and his record? How is that fair? Not fair at all.
Yeah. Well, same thing can be said for the home run record that
Barry Bonds holds.
Because
we know, everybody
didn't prove that he was cheating, but there's no proof. But we all know that he was. He just never physically got caught doing it, you know.
I feel like he didn't need it.
Grave without telling nobody.
Okay, I have an update. The Mets, the Mets were tied. We had just tied it 2-2. Marte. And then Machado just hits a grand slam.
Oh.
6-2. Well, top of the fifth. Two outs.
You know who I'm rooting for in the postseason since the Orioles are done? I call them the Orioles of the West because they have three Orioles on their team, the Padres. But anyway, so going back to the Mariners, we as fans, we have things that we like to do to, like prevent the team from, like, jinxing or, you know, a couple, like, last year, the Mets had the purple grimace guy, and he said,
"Yeah, we had a lot of
friends bought into it. Think he was the reason why they got into a hot streak." And
yeah, the oh my god business.
Yeah, oh my god business, or they had the blow up what's it called? The blow up doll that Craig was talking about.
Which one?
Remember that the blow up doll you sent? I forgot what it was called. Something.
The Pablo Sanchez doll.
That's
a video game character.
What's the opposite of jinx? Anyway, something to get the team morale going. And every team does it. It's a little gimmick to get the fans involved. And
definitely,
you know, in reality, we know those fun, things though. Don't really work. It has to do with players.
No, it's fun though.
But it's fun to talk about. You know, we had a chat with Craig. You know, Craig's fell in love with Grimace. I jokingly call Grimace Craig's boyfriend. But because he was obsessed with him. But anyway, yeah. This fan in Seattle, his name was Stephen Blackman, and he's just frustrated with the team losing. And he said, "Well, let's see if I can stop the curse and, you know, maybe do something, well, you know, spark a run in the team." Well, so what he decided to do, he went on a website called Etsy. For those who don't know Etsy, it's like it's another form of Amazon, but it's more like artistic stuff.
Yes,
mostly girls get these stuff. So, for example, a lot of the nurses I work with, they like to buy the badge reels because you can decorate them to like whatever you want.
Say that again.
Like badge reels.
What's
like,
that?
Like, you know, for your ID and your lance, so you can hold your.
Okay,
ID
got you, got you, got
badge
you.
Badge reels, like you can like swipe down to get into a building.
Got you.
So the nurses
like
will buy
lanyard
that
type deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an ID. It's an ID badge holder. Anyway, you can buy this little circle and you can decorate it to whatever you want. It could be a picture of your cat, dog, baseball team, you name it. Anyway, so this fan came up with an idea and on how to fix the Mariners, as he calls it. And so he calls it, he said he basically paid a etchy witch to break the curse of the Mariners losing. Yeah. Because at the time, the Mariners who had lost four out of this, who had lost four in a row and lost six out of the seven games, the idea to lift the curse actually particularly came from his best friend. He told to the news, she and I have made jokes in the past about using magic or witchcraft or something to fix various things in our lives. And she suggested a few months ago, "Hey, why don't you hire a witchcraft to fix the Mariners?" So he basically posted a sign to the game. He bought a sign for like $15 or $16. And it says, he made a sign basically to get their act together and start winning baseball games again. The team then arrived home to sweep the Los Angeles Cardinals 3 games and take the first of the 4-game series against the Angels. He's basically been his whole fan, been a fan his whole life. But anyway, ever since that happened, they've gone on a streak, and now they're on a 10-game winning streak so far. But what's really done is their pitching staff has really come together, and their bullpen has been really good, and the offense is doing well, but the pitching is what's been dominant for them, and the bullpen. Because when you
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Think about the, you know, some of the guys that got Eugenio Suarez and all these other guys,
J-Rod,
Crawford, all that guys, they haven't been contributing as much as they should and were expected. And, you know, I always looked at the Mariners as, you know, they're always good in the regular season, but, you know, either choke at the finish line or get across the finish line and then fall again, and then their season tends to be over. But they've took advantage of Houston, kind of who went on a slump in the August and stuff. And September turned a new page, and they've been on fire since. And they might be able to win the West. If not at best get the wild card spot. Right now they'll be winning the West. So right now they have the first place spot for the West. So if they win the division, they would be the third best team, which means that they would have to play in a first round against a wild card team. But they would have home field advantage in the first round, which, to me, I don't know if it really matters. Now, home field is not like the way it is in football, in my opinion.
Home field is important, man. In baseball,
you think so?
Yeah, of course. It's very important. Listen, there's something electric and something completely different about the crowd in one of these games. I've been to them, and it's not the same regular old baseball. It's a different energy. It feels amazing. It's something special. Home field advantage is great. It's great. It can definitely take out an opposing team. You know what I'm saying? It can definitely, you know. And remember, you can slick the streets however you want. Some guys like their, you know, sand a little bit on the harder side, softer side, depending on what you need. You get that at home. You know what I'm saying? On top of that, you have the fans. You know what I'm saying? You have, you know your dimensions better than any other ballpark. You know what I'm saying?
You get last at bat in the playoffs.
You get the last at bat. Thank you. Another great one. Of course. Listen, there's a lot of things about being at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, seriously. If you lose your first game of the playoffs playing at home, you fucked up. Because that first W is very important in the playoffs. It puts you in a very good position. It takes a little bit of the pressure off, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And then you didn't waste pitching, you know what I'm saying? Because think about it. You put your best foot forward and you lose, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Because then tomorrow you have to think about what you're going to do. You just finished throwing the ace at this team. And he lost, you know? That's crazy, you know? That's why baseball is so dramatic and so amazing, you know? Because you play hard all year to get to these moments, you know? And then one error can kill the whole game for your whole team.
Or look at the Yankees. One inning could kill the World Series and they lost. That's the difference too. Yeah. Going to get, because if they hadn't messed up, they would have gone to Game 7. They were playing pretty well until they made those errors. And that's what cost them. So, yeah, so home field is, that's the one good thing. But reason why I'm kind of hesitant about saying that is because, you know, my team last year, they had home field advantage, and they were the home team in the wild card, and they got swept, essentially. They might have won one game. But either way, they looked terrible at home, and they just were gassed, and they ran out. So, and Texas, even look at the Mets. They were the, they had to go on the road, and they went on a hot streak. So, so it could go either way, but it's baseball. It's all about getting hot at the right time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
If you can, you know, if you're, you know, last year the Mets got hot in the second half and they just continued to ride that momentum all the way up.
Yeah, this year was the opposite of that. We got
which
hot
is so weird, man. So it's just the, you know, they start out great and then they've been struggling. But you know, I was saying earlier, that's a nice way to put it, I guess. But you'll put it the way you want. But the nice, you know, that's the nice thing. So this is why it is important to have a good lead, because if you do hit a rough patch in the road, you can regain control hopefully and just stay on the track.
Yeah, that's true, but that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is even worse than what you just said. First of all, you get to a point in the season where you're like, all right, you're playing decent. Philly's not doing so well. We're catching up. We got pretty close to them. And then, you know, we're like, damn, we have to play the Dodgers. I mean, Detroit. You have to play Detroit, right? And, you know, of course, we're scared. And, yo, we took 2 out of 3. And then Cincinnati, another team that was on our asses in the wild card situation, right behind us, right? Fighting for that last slot that we held on to. I don't know how. Cincinnati, they take the series. And I'm like, here we go. We won the first game. We lost the last two. And then the series that we were all waiting for. We're going to play the Phillies. The Phillies are scared of us. All season long, the Phillies have been able to play the Mets. They're making errors. They're not playing to their potential. They just fall to the Mets all year long. And now we're like, we're so close. If we win this series, we will be in first place again. What happens? We get swept. Four-game series, right? So if you add the last two in the Cincinnati series plus those four, that's six, right? Then we go and we play Texas. We get murdered and we win the last game. We snuck in the last one and we stopped the bleeding. Eight games. And we're still hanging by a thread, holding on to that last wild card. And then last night, of course, I was at the stadium. I didn't care. I was there working. Medical. Now, all I can hear is the crowd going crazy, man. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? These guys had an amazing first inning. That's what happened. And I'm like, all right, so we're showing some fight. Nah, now we're getting murdered again. This team, I don't know. If this team makes the playoffs, I keep telling everybody, this is the type of team that can turn it around in a playoff situation and win the whole shit. All right? Because they have the pieces. They've proven that those pieces work. I like what they did with the young kids and they brought them up. I think they should have brought them up a little earlier. You know what I'm saying? And now they get the experience. So now next year we have problems because we can't go get pitching because we have too many pitchers. So we're going to have to get rid of some. Or something, but we always have this tendency to get hurt. So I don't know what to do with the pitching. But we have those three young guys, McLean, Tong, and Sproat, right? So let's keep them rolling. Keep Manaea and Clay Holmes in the first game yesterday. They used Clay Holmes, right, for the first half, and then they threw Manaea in and he finished it. So that's a good combo that worked. So let's keep doing that, right?
And yeah, you can have a bullpen game. You might have
like starters.
A spot starter from the bullpen to start, you know, because you already know. Like, when I saw Manaea pitch yesterday, and I was like, you know what? He might be better in the bullpen because I think it's just taxing on him.
No. But he played
five innings.
He threw a lot. He threw, I'll give you the numbers right now. He threw half the game. Because, you know, and I wasn't watching, and I'm like, damn, he threw a lot. He finished the game. They didn't use the bullpen this last night. Let me see something. Let me double check that.
Like I said, it's a different story if Mets don't score all those runs in the first period, in the first half. What do you call it? First inning. That's really propelled them, you know?
I mean, so it did. I mean, we were hitting. And you know what's great? We were hitting.
They're better when he has the lead. It's just the way it is.
It was pretty crazy. Listen, so take this out. You say that, right? But Holmes went four innings and Manaea went five. You know what I'm saying?
That's nine innings, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's it right there, bro. And look at that. Look.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Holmes gave up 3 hits. Manaea gave up 4 hits. Clay Holmes gave up 2 earned runs. Manaea gave up 1. You know what I'm saying? And Holmes walked 1. That's it. All right? And they struck out 6. Manaea struck out 4 and Clay 2. But you know what? That worked out. That 1-2 combo worked out. You know?
So now you can do that because you figured you already have your, you know who the 3 guys are going to be playing if you're in a wild card game. All those 3 guys, all those rookies are going to be playing or starting.
I don't know. I don't think all of them. I think McLean earned the spot, but and I don't think Tong was horrible. Nah, I wouldn't put either one of those in a playoff situation.
McLean would be the third guy.
I would put him first. I would get him out of the way. I would say go in there and do what you do, and I will make him smoke these guys. And you know what's funny? He'll be able to do it to a team he hasn't seen yet. So it's an advantage, exactly.
So that's 1 game in your pocket out of 2. So
exactly,
you just need one guy. You just need Manaea or Mahomes, wherever it's going to start.
No, you put Holmes and Manaea combo. You throw it in there. That saves your bullpen.
That's your second game, and then your third game.
And then the third game, you can put in. I wouldn't put Senga in. I don't think Senga has it, man.
No, he's in trouble. He's gonna come back up.
I'll put Peterson in.
You could do it, Peterson 5-inning game and then bring in somebody else. Or you could bring up Senga, do 5 innings with Peterson and then 5 and then 4 games with 4 games.
Yeah, I would finish with, it. With Senga?
What's his name?
Finish it with Senga. Finish it with Senga. So this way
get his confidence up.
Exactly.
And then so technically you would have 2 games where you have to split your game. But if that works well, then you don't have to plow through your bullpen. So that gives those guys more rest, especially Hazley, the guy they got.
Yeah, he's having problems. Yeah, Hosley.
He's been beyond terrible, but
yeah, that's crazy.
For another day.
No, but Stearns said that his acquirements at the trade deadline didn't work out so well. They didn't pan out, man. Mullins didn't pan out.
Mullins is the biggest surprise, in my opinion.
No. I don't blame Mullins. You know what it was? Because let me explain something to you. The day they got him, I remember I was excited to see him play. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why is he not playing? He's not playing. And, they kept playing Tyrone back there. I don't know what the hell the problem was. I can't understand why they went after Mullins. And then knowing he was a rental on top of that and didn't let him play, you know what I'm saying, to earn a slot or be a consideration for next year. You know what I'm saying? They just let him sit. And he's not playing every day, so it's weird. So, of course, he's going to dry up. You know what I'm saying? If he was ever hitting, he wasn't going to hit like that. But whatever. You know, the bullpen magic, they acquired a lot of good arms. And guess what? If I was Stearns myself, I would have done the same thing because he went after some good shit. All right? And I'm like, all right. He revitalized the bullpen. I'm like, holy shit. He just completely changed the bullpen.
He got what they needed.
It looks great. He did. He plugged the holes. But the problem, he didn't go after the pitching, though. That's the problem, right? So everybody was complaining.
The bullpen.
It's the bullpen. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? He should have. We lost a couple of prospects, but I would have probably went after a pitcher. But you know, we have so many pitching problems because we were so good, and then all of a sudden we lost it, and then McGill fell apart. A lot of things happened to us, and then we couldn't go 7, and the bullpen imploded, and then a lot happened. Then we stopped hitting. Like, I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? And then they kept juggling the lineup. You know what I'm saying? There was no consistency in on the defensive side either. You know what I'm saying? Because you kept playing McNeil at first, at second, at left, center, right, all over the place. You know what I'm saying? We fucked up the platoon at third and shit with Vientos' development after he earned that slot last year. Beatty's on second. He's on third. And then Mendoza has this weird thing when the 8th inning comes around, he'll just like completely swap out the whole lineup and shit, change everybody up defensively. It's very weird too. I don't like when they do that either because, I've seen errors happen because of it. You know what I'm saying? So you have McNeil in left field. Why? Just forget that. You know what I'm saying? If you're winning and even, you know what I'm saying, leave it alone, all right? You know, you want to play that guy, play him tomorrow. But y'all know, you want to get him some, you know, you don't want him to just sit there, right? But not like that, because you had McNeil in left field, right? You swap him out, you put him in second, you bring Nimmo in now, you know what I'm saying, off the bench, because he had a day off or whatever the fuck. And then you Vientos is playing third, you move him to first, you do all this weird shit, and then
he doesn't belong at first.
Yeah, exactly. You do a lot of weird shit. It doesn't work out. But whatever, man. Listen.
Mauricio is inconsistent at third.
No, but it's not Acuna's his fault, man.
Acuna doesn't get enough playing time. He's always
not enough playing time. No one's getting swapped out, so it's not good. You know, it's not good.
The only guys that get playing time is your catcher, Alvarez, Nimmo, and Alonso. And then
and Soto.
But it's funny because people are starting to get – and Soto, yeah. The problem I've noticed is the – people are starting to get upset with Nimmo too. They feel like hasn't been producing as he was in the first half of the season.
But none of them have. None of them have.
So you can't blame one guy. But he's been the one consistent, is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, he was always consistent.
Even when
everybody sucks.
Trash.
Everybody's trash right
but
now.
But now he's hitting the. He's feeling the same. It's like it's worn. Oh, it's like it feels like it's worn off on him too. It's like, oh crap, he's feeling the bad vibe. But I would, as an Orioles fan, I was excited for you to get Cedric Mullins because he's a really good defensive player.
I like
he's
him.
He's average. He's average. He's not a home run hitter. He's a good on. He's a line drive type of hitter. He's not gonna hit bombs when he gets it. But you got him for his defense and his bat.
Milosh, we figured this out. We knew that was gonna happen from like the second week in the season. Like we already if you go back. And you listen to these episodes, you know, we were talking about this happening. We were making the trade happen, and we were making it a lot more juicier than what actually happened because we ended up getting three, like, no-name prospects. You know what I'm saying? But still, though, that's the future. You never know what can come out of them. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if there's a DeGrom hidden in there and shit. You know?
Well, the thing that surprised me, okay, here's the reason why, in my opinion, the Mets didn't get starting pitcher. I feel like the demand was so high. Remember, the demand for a starting pitcher in the trade deadline is a lot more. It's a lot more. You have to give up more for a starter than you do bullpen, because ideally you want to try to get a starting pitcher that has controllability for at least a couple of years. But if there's a good starter out there on a losing team, you know. For example, on the Orioles, they let Charlie Morton go. He was doing good, and then he was tradable. But let's say he was like maybe 10 years younger, you know, the demand would have been high. And it's just like, do you want to give up that much, you know, for a guy like that?
So I think it's not about that to me.
The demand was too high.
Okay, no, but I see it. This is how I see it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been in the league for. I don't care if you've had up and downs in the past. Right, if you own 11-5 record, you know what I'm saying, at the trade deadline, something, you know, okay, let's go a little lower, 11-2, let's do something like that, right? You have an 11-2 record, right? And, you know, you're a decent pitcher, you're a household name, you know what that means. The household name is Paul Skeens, you know what I'm saying, Scherzer, you know, these Ohtani. DeGrom, you know, household names for a baseball enthusiast. You know what I'm saying?
Freed, so now, Cole,
exactly. Freed, exactly. Ohtani. So you understand? Exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So
yeah,
he's one of these guys, right? But you say he's long in the tooth, right? You're saying that he's an older guy, right? And you need help for the playoffs, right? I'm definitely going after that. I don't care how high, you know, the demand is. If you need that type of arm and you see what type of year he's having, you want to bring that over. You know, and whether or not, you know, you're going to lose a decent prospect, you're thinking about the right now. Because, you know what I'm saying, if you're having a great season and you're like, damn, I'm missing a piece. And this piece is very important because we're going to need him in the play.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I don't think we have like a number one ace to, you know, shut them down at home when we get this home field advantage. You say to yourself, you know what? I'll give up the Beatty. I'll give up the, you know, and I'll throw some money in too if I have to, but I need this player. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to do with him next year? Who cares about that? You want to be able to say we won the championship. And I think that that piece was important. Imagine that guy can win 3-4 games for you in the span of getting to the World Series and winning the championship. Right?
Yeah, he could be the one guy that carries you all the way through.
Exactly. You know?
That's what happened with the Braves a couple years ago. Every single trade piece they made, Soler and all the, and more, I think they, Morton, I don't know if they, I think they might have got Morton in that trade in the, I don't know if they got him in the, Jacques Peterson, Eddie Rosario, all those guys, they came over, and all those guys, they carried the Braves to the championship in 21. So it's, the trade doesn't guarantee you anything. It just gives you hope.
It gives you hope
because you're like, okay, hey, my team saw a need. I can't say they didn't do nothing because they did. You know, they went after who they thought. And now looking back, hindsight 2020, I feel like giving up Gilbert for the Mets was way too extreme for, what's his name? The guy you got from San Francisco, Hazley, what's his name?
Hosley.
Yeah. And now he's starting in San Francisco. So, great, of course. Another guy that bit the Mets, look at PCA.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay. These things happen because you never know. You're gambling, you know what I'm saying?
You never know. That's true.
You take the piece and you're like, all right, I like this piece. You know what I'm saying? You say, you're not giving them away. You're saying, I like your piece and you want this piece, but I'm fine with that. You have to agree to it. It's not like, you know, you're going to sleep and you wake up and your piece is missing. It's not like that. It's like, you like this? I like that.
It's not
that.
Like you're being, you know, it's not like you're being held against your will. Go
exactly.
Give me the guy now.
Well, exactly.
I ain't gonna do it. You know.
You decided you that give, that was it.
But you got to give to get. And
exactly.
It just sucks.
Sometimes it works out better for the other side. You know what I'm saying?
But I was like, well, if you're going to include him in a trade for a bullpen guy, you might. I would have just included him in a trade for a pitcher that had controllability. But there's not too many good starters that you're going to trade for on bad teams. If you look at all the teams that are out of the playoffs already, at the trade deadline, none of them have really great starters. They're like, I need him on my team. You know what I mean?
I don't feel
it wasn't the Corbin Burns.
But there was a Paul Skenes out there, and nobody wanted to give that up. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to give him up. So, you know, that team is not ready. We'll say that. We're not going to say they're trash. We're going to say they're not ready. And will they ever be? Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I just want to say that, this game is crazy. Soto hits a home run, right? So it's a 6-3 game. And now Arez, you know, saying single to right, Diaz scores, and Arez stretched it out. Tatis on, forget about it, man. This game is over, bro. 7. We lost the second game. Now the rubber match tomorrow. Whatever.
Tomorrow's afternoon game. Are you working that game?
No. Tomorrow,
well, Tong is pitching fast.
On the other side tomorrow. Tomorrow's a 1 o'clock game.
You should be able to win tomorrow. It's a getaway game. They're probably traveling.
No, they're not.
Oh, no, they got Washington. No.
Yeah, they have Washington coming home. Yeah. And then they travel to Chicago and Miami. That's it. The season's over. That's it.
Yeah, you finish on the road.
Yep.
But, yeah, it just, you know, like I said, even look at the Yankees, too. They traded for, two closers they were closers on Bednar and I already forgot his name. The guy from San Francisco. I already forgot his name. But anyway, they were closers for their respective teams. And then they came over. They've been terrible. You know, so all the guys that the Yankees got, they haven't really helped them. They've actually cost them some games. You know, same with Caminero, they put him in, center Judge's left field one day. And he missed, overplayed a ball and he missed it. And they lost the game because of it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you can blame Stearns. Like, why did you get this guy? He's terrible. He had no clue because at the time, those guys were doing great, you know. Now you can look at the Philadelphia. It seems like everything the Philadelphia Phillies did is working. To me, they remind me of the Braves from 21. All the guys they traded for, they're doing great. Duran is doing well. Harrison Bader's killing it for them.
Yeah, it's working out. So they rejuvenated themselves. This is their last
because
year,
because of that,
man.
They ran away with that division.
Nah, they ran away. They didn't run away with it. The Mets gave it to
them.
The
Mets gave it away, I guess. Yeah.
Mets gave it away, bro.
I wanted to be nice, but it's frustrating because, with the Mets, this is the problem, is that you know your weakness is the starting rotation, and they tried fixing it with the three starters, which they did, but the problem
we still weren't hitting. Exactly. So everything, it's just not working.
Everything has to click. The pitching has to be on point. Starting has to be on point. Your relief has to be on point, and your offense. And if one of those three are not clicking, win the championship. You need all three to click, and that's what happened with the Dodgers last year. All three phases clicked. Yeah. You know, it's not like football; it's just two phases. You know, they say special teams, but to me, offense and defense is the main. You know, in baseball, you need all three phases. If your team's hitting home runs and scoring runs, but your bullpen comes in and keeps throwing up all over themselves, then guess what? Only two out of your three things are working.
Yeah, but
and
if
that's
you,
the other
if
problem
expel
with
that, that one
that bullpen has been because there have been times
It's not the bullpen's fault. What happened? The bullpen was great. Yo, we were number one in all categories, bro.
I know.
Offense and fucking pitching and bullpen. Our ERA is
the best
super
ERA.
Low.
They're 2.1. We had it in the last podcast, not the last one, but whenever we did in April, there was a podcast we talked about how they had the lowest ERA in the majors.
In baseball.
All majors in the month of May, June,
they were crazy in all categories. They were crazy with it.
They were just killing us.
This shit happened. But you know what happened? It started with the rotation. That they couldn't go past five innings, and then the bullpen got taxed. You know what I'm saying? The bullpen was great, but then it got taxed. And then he had to rebuild the bullpen, and then he had to bring up these kids up because the rotation was just complete trash, you know? Then we stopped hitting altogether. And then the juggling of the lineup is crazy to me too, bro. Listen, just be consistent with the lineup so everybody knows what their job is. You know what I'm saying? If a guy's number one, he's not going for a home run. He's just trying to get on base, man. And number one is a fast guy, so you know what? He can, you know, intend on stealing second two if he can. You know what I'm saying? And then you start the ball rolling. You know, baseball, you have different pieces. You know what I'm saying? That's why we have a number four slot, you know what I'm saying, for that type of situation. We have those type of players that play that position well in the lineup. You know what I'm saying? You can't. It's different chess pieces, you know what I'm saying? And they do different things. And this is how you build a real baseball team, man. If you keep swapping these guys out here, there, over here, now you're over here. You know what I'm saying? They can't get comfortable. You did too much. It's like if whoever's in charge of that is the problem. And if it's Mendoza, I don't think it's Mendoza. I think it's coming from upstairs. He's just there.
It's definitely not Mendoza. It's all about the analytics. This is what I hate about analytics, because the analytics take away the heart. Because if your heart's telling you he's not good, take him out. Don't keep him in there. But the problem is they say, well, if he's starting to struggle in the second go around of the lineup, take him out. Don't wait till he gets into the third round against the lineup, third time around. Then it's too late. And that's what they do. They leave him in there too long because here's the thing. Mendoza knows, geez, man, this guy's four innings. Now I got to use my bullpen again.
Again?
Tax. Now the bullpen's getting tired. Now you got to lean on Diaz every day. He doesn't get rest. And that's why he's struggling a little bit because
everybody's struggling.
A lot of pressure's on him, you know. And if you give him a one-run lead, it's gonna be hard for him because Diaz needs to come in when it's like a three-run lead. You know that then he does well. I'm just being serious. It sounds silly, but he does well. And when you put him in a run-one situation,
he's gonna blow it.
He's just gonna blow it, but it just and
he's
that,
gonna
that
blow it,
destroys
bro.
Destroys his confidence, and he knows that. I'm sorry, but it's a mind game.
He has no confidence.
But part of that is that you overuse him, you know, and your arm gets tired. And not only is they just overusing him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
When he's out there, he's pitching like he's got like work. It's not like 1, 2, 3, here we go. It's not like three batters and they're done. He's pitching like four or five batters in one inning. That's a lot. Most closers,
yeah, because yeah, because he's hitting them, he's walking them, he's doing all types of stupid shit. Hitting them, he's hitting them. Pass balls, you know what I'm saying? All types of crazy shit.
Ball in, you know, the other team dugout. It's just like,
yeah, hey, yo, yeah. You
know, pass ball, really, Alvarez can't catch it because he crossed him up.
He's, you know, this fucking guy's incredible. With, yo, he gives you, you know, anxiety, yo. Ulcers, bro. Fucking with that guy. I hate him right now. And the whole team, the whole team is just, but you know what? I'll tell you right now. I've said it already to a couple of people today. If the Mets make the playoffs, I guarantee you a World Series championship. That will happen. That will happen. If we make the playoffs, I guarantee you a long run. I guarantee that. Something's going to happen. This team is pathetic. We've seen it happen already. We've seen this team in action. We've seen what this team can do. The pieces are there. I don't know why it's not working. All right? This is the second year in a row where Stearns has to ask himself, what's going on here? I don't understand this. Right? We have a great ball club. We've seen you do it. You had an amazing first half, and then you just completely fell apart. Last year, it was a complete opposite. He was like, what the hell is going on with this team? I don't understand. And then all of a sudden, they went on that run, and they played baseball, you know? It's now, I don't know. I don't know. And for some reason, we're holding on, you know, to that last slot. Let's see. Hopefully
well,
we keep
holding on because, what do you call it? Cincinnati, Arizona, San Francisco, they're all literally one game ahead of, you know, have a
big nah, it's all very record, close. It's all close.
And they're only two
close.
Games ahead of, they're a game ahead of Arizona. I don't know. But it's crazy. Arizona is a game above 500. That's crazy to think that they might make that last spot. But the Mets are five games above 500. I don't see them losing it. If they lose it, man, someone might be the sacrificial lamb for the Mendoza. Mets. And it's going to be the GM, in my opinion, or the manager.
It's going to be the manager. It's not going to be.
It's going to be the manager be
Stearns. Stearns didn't do anything wrong.
No,
he proved it.
You know, well,
what you mean? He got the talent. He put the team together.
Talent,
he did well.
Perform.
No, they did perform. They fell off the fucking face of the earth. They
performed. No, the guys you got in the trade deadline haven't performed.
Oh, but guess what? They were performing over there. They were performing over there where they were at. They were doing excellent things. They were doing excellent things on the other side over there. When they came over here, something happened. So
I don't know if it's change of scenery or knowing that there's pressure or not comfortable with your environment. It does take a while. You know, it's new setting, new. I don't know if the field dimensions make a big difference between City Field or Camden Yards or.
I mean, you know it does.
You know, Oracle Park in San Francisco. I don't buy that, but maybe it does. But either way,
something's wrong.
And it's because of that, they literally gave the division away because they were up for a while. They were like seven games above the Phillies. And they were like, they're going to win this division easy because Philadelphia's struggling. But, there was a time where the Mets and the Phillies were both struggling. So, but even in that struggle, Philadelphia wasn't gaining ground, and then the Mets just kept
on
struggling. And all of a sudden, you know, Phillies made those trade deadlines, and they just ran off with Duran, who's been, in my opinion, probably the best closer so far of the season. But anyway, the other team that that is hot right now, they're 3.5 out of a wild card is the Texas Rangers. They've been, you know. Their lineup, you know, they're doing it with, you know, the likes of Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Evan Carter, Adolis Garcia. They look like a very formidable team. Like, oh, wow. Because at the trade deadline, you know, at the All-Star game, they're like, they're not going to make it. I just felt like they were walking like half awake in the first half of the season. I'm like, how's this team not good? They have such a good rotation. They got Valdi, DeGrom. All these guys.
Yeah, but that happens to a lot of teams. That happens to Boston, too.
Sleepwalking.
Happened to Boston, too, bro.
Yeah, now they got hot, and the bats have finally showed up. Adolis Garcia's doing well. Carter and all these guys. But they recently just got – they just swept the Brewers, who have the best record in the majors and who clinched their division recently. And at one point, You know, they took two out of three from the Astros, and because of that, it allowed Seattle to get ahead or tie for the American League West. But,
crazy.
Right now, yeah, they got hot, but it's a little too late because looking at the record, they're for the wild card, they're 79 and 73, so they're 3.5 out. So they got, you know, Cleveland and Boston ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only four games behind Houston. So Houston, it's going to come down to Houston and Seattle to win that division. But, Texas got hot at the right time for a moment. It's like, oh, they're going to make it. And then now they've lost a couple. But I was impressed they were able to do that with some of their guys, you know, not producing. And all of a sudden they're getting hot at the right time, which is what you want. But the problem is it's a little too late. Because, you know, the last wild card team is Boston, and they're barely hanging on.
They're going to hang on.
They're going to get it because the American League East is so bad.
They're so bad that three teams made it. That's not bad at all. That's great. That means that they're tough.
Well,
think about it.
Bad. Well, yeah, I guess so. You could say that. But, you know, because that means, what was it? Last year, all five teams in American League East finished with a winning record, where this year it's only going to be three out of the five. So that's still pretty good. That's a good percentage back-to-back years. But they're clearly not the best division this year. American League West, seems to be the best one as far as, with the Dodgers and the Padres.
This shit is crazy because think about it, bro. The Dodgers are not going to win 100 games this year, right? They have 84 games. Philadelphia and Milwaukee are the only two teams that I think can possibly make it happen. Win 100 games this season. It's pretty crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because Philadelphia already lost 61.
Milwaukee is like the Tampa Bay Rays. They always lose their best pitchers either via trade or free agency, and they just find new arms. They're like Tampa. Always find new talent somewhere and somehow. Always find new pitching. They never miss a beat. The problem is they get to the playoffs and then they do the Toronto Blue Jays when they just fall apart or just don't show up.
You can't blame
this year. Last year, think about it. They should have won against the
Mets.
If it wasn't for Alonso and Williams, because Devin Williams shit the bed.
But that's the same thing. I'm saying the same thing. He
and
threw
the
pitch.
Took advantage
and Alonso
of it.
Took advantage, of course. Yeah, but think about it. If it wasn't for Alonso.
Oh, Alonso saved the Mets. And they carried him all the way to the NLCS.
But let's see what happens.
Who knows?
I mean, listen, though, that it's already been written on. Like, if you look at the National League, it's already there. Like, Philly's already in there. Milwaukee, Chicago, all these great teams. You know what I'm saying? The Dodgers, San Diego, and maybe the Mets. That's a pretty good, we can fight out of a paper bag. I think we can pull that off, man. Listen, I know we can we can beat any one of those teams, bro. I'm not scared of the Dodgers anymore. The Dodgers have come back down to earth.
Because you beat them last year, and you know it. I don't know about the Dodgers.
Dodgers ain't going to win the World Series. Not this year. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know about winning Dodgers, but I meant like, it's hard to tell with the Dodgers because I feel like the Dodgers, you ever heard that saying, stop playing with your food? I feel like the Dodgers, they get bored, and so they just start playing with their food. That's why they get swept by the Pittsburghs of the world or to Baltimore.
So you're saying that when they get to the playoffs?
They ramp it up, yeah. Just like concern. It's like a marathon. Let me slow down at this mile marker, catch my breath, and then when I get to the last mile, let's go boom. And that's, I think that's what they're doing. Huh.
But you know what? Okay,
but
it's
a problem because look at where San Diego is. They say, "Oh, okay, San Diego's like San Diego." Okay, the Dodgers are like the first place runner in a track meet, and San Diego sees that you slow down. Oh, you slowing? Okay, let me catch up. And that's exactly what's happening. And now,
San Diego had the division. They were leaders in the division for a couple of days. They keep fighting two games. There's still twelve games left.
Yeah.
I know, but listen. Think about it. There's 12 games left. If LA goes on a losing streak and San Diego continues to win, it can happen. It can happen in the last couple of days, because if it stays this close, it can I can go down to the last day of the season. You know what I'm saying? I'm not counting them out. I pray that they're able to do it, because it'll be amazing to finally see a change in that division.
Yeah, I'm rooting for San Diego.
Of course, so am I. But not today and not tomorrow. But you know,
when the pro season comes, if the Mets get knocked out,
definitely.
But anyway, in other news, DeGrom made his first return to Citi Field last Friday.
Who cares? Nah, I'm just playing. I love DeGrom.
And you know, let's be honest, the Mets kind of gave up on him. You know,
no. Get out of here, bro. Listen,
didn't
I'm
they
the
trade
most...
him away?
No.
They let him walk.
Listen, bro. We did not. We gave him too many chances, bro. He was barely pitching for us. He was getting paid, bro. Texas took a chance. They got him. Guess what happened? He got hurt. He got hurt, and we all laughed on this side and said, thank God we didn't do that, right? And then, you know, it took him years to finally come back to form and do this, all right? So it's not worth the money. It's not worth the money, bro. Because he can't help you in no type of situation and doing that shit. I don't think so, bro. We did the right thing by letting him go and not paying for him. You know what I'm saying? Because we definitely didn't need that problem. We don't need anybody sitting there getting paid, you know what I'm saying, for no reason. You know? Listen, all right. Like, you can see that, you know, having him in the rotation makes a difference, and they almost made the playoffs this year. Almost. We're going to say almost.
They're not going to make the playoffs, probably. But he's been part of the reason why they've been hot. He's been lights out. And but anyway, the Mets fans were very receptive of him. They gave him a really nice warm welcome. He got to, you know, dap up the guys on the Mets, you know, chat and, you know, explain pleasantries with everybody. So there was no hard feelings on either side.
Of course not. We knew it was his time. No, you can't hate him. They gave Iglesias a nice little welcome back to Citi Field, because he plays in San Diego now. Yeah. Which is a mistake. Which is definitely a mistake. You should have never let that guy go. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, he just said, you know, it felt a lot. It was great. It means, he said, the fans were great to me when I was here, and they were great to me tonight. I always enjoyed taking the mound in front of the crowd. Tonight was just a special. I knew it was late in the year when I saw on our schedule, but I want the chance to pitch here. And, you know, like I said, the Texas Rangers didn't know what they were going to get from him this year. Let's be honest, because he just got off an injury, so you have no clue how he's going to be. He's having a good year, and he just happened to pitch well against in his first. That's what's a killer if you're a Mets fan. Of course, he comes back and looks like Cy Young again all over. It's just like, my goodness.
Oh, he's doing well.
So he's doing well, but unfortunately, it's not going to be enough to carry him. But, you know, now he might be the ace for them next year. Who knows? I don't know how much is left in his tank. But either way, I can't believe he was with the Mets for 9 years. That's crazy to think. And he was the ace of that team for majority of those years. And he was very good. You know, he had maybe, one or two, you know, bad seasons, not even. He had that one bad season that just went, you know, downhill after that, you know, when he got injured and all that. But, you know, so it's what it is. All you can do is, you know, tip your cap off to him and thank him for his time in the New York and, you know, wish him well. And, you know, like I said, you as a Mets, you can't worry about him, what he does. You got to worry about your guys. And now they're hoping they found their new DeGrom in Tong and Sproul
McLean.
And it reminds me of when they had DeGrom, Harvey, and Syndergaard. That's what this reminds me of all over again.
I like the look.
These guys throw harder. That's the only difference now. They throw a lot harder than all those three guys.
I want this to work out for them, because this trio right here is definitely something to me. I like this trio. I like it.
Yeah.
I hope they figure out the situation, because they need to really figure out what's going on with the lineup and the rotation. It's going to be a good rotation next year. They have to keep these three guys on, let them finish the season and figure it out and really work on them in the offseason to make them what they need to be and get them ready for the next season. But I think that I see it already. I see something nice happening there. But this year, man, I don't know. It'd be nice to make the playoffs to see what they have. Maybe they can spark something because I know that team has what it takes to win. I saw what they did last night, and I know that I've seen it throughout the season. They have something. They can definitely overpower you. But it's not happening right now. We're getting to the end. We're going to lose the last slot and be done with it. And that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
No, I disagree. See, that's everyone does that because I did that last year. I wish we didn't make the playoffs. It would have been better. No, you want to make the playoffs because it's very hard to get there. And you can say you actually made the playoffs. You know, that's a hard thing to say. It's not like stupid basketball. We got a play in. I hate that stupid thing. That's not making the playoffs. You know, it's like a mercy game. Anyway, so you want to, because, you know, you definitely want to make the playoffs this year because that's going to be help for guys that just came up. That's great experience. That's a great environment. So next year, you know those three guys are going to be in your rotation next year. They're going to need that experience and know that they've been there and know how to deal with a high leverage situation like that.
I like how you think.
That's going to be you want to make the playoffs. I don't care what you're saying no because you're thinking with your emotions and not your brain. And I do that too, even the moment. And when you're angry, you're just like, hell, I want my team to lose. It's just like, you know, if the Raiders lose or the Jets or whatever, they lose. They're like, you know, I'm glad they lost. They suck anyway. But at the end of the day, you want the experience. And even Alvarez, he's a young, you know, he was in the playoffs last year. Alonzo, you know, you want those guys to experience what it's like, you know. And those guys, they went on a run last year. So they know what it's like. So if you can get your starting, you know, you can get those guys to be involved in a run like that, that's going to be helpful. And guess what? The teams that you're playing in the in the postseason, I don't know if they ever played against him. You know what I mean? The Dodgers, I don't think they played against him. You know what I mean? The Padres are playing them now, so I take that back. But, you know, and San Francisco just played them, I think, not too long ago. But, you know what I mean? So, in the Philadelphia, Phillies played them. You know, they pitch well. But the point is it's a good experience. You want those guys to be experienced, be in that environment of high leverage situations because the postseason pressure is way different than the regular season. Because in the postseason, both teams are trying and both teams are throwing everything but the kitchen sink at each other.
Of course.
And you're getting the best play from – that's the thing I like about the postseason baseball. Every team that's – there's no team that's lackadaisical in that. You know, they might look like it, but they're going, you know, guns to the wall.
It's a different type of baseball, yeah, because everybody – do you fuck up in an inning? That's it, you're out of there.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
Let's figure it out.
We'll let your pitch warm.
No. Get the fuck out of here.
It's a do or die.
Yeah, it's true. That first game matters.
So you can say you don't want to make the playoffs, but you do want to make a playoffs. It's going to help them next year. And also, you already know what you got to do with rotation. You know that you don't have to go after two starters now. You only need to go after maybe one starter.
One
starter and maybe three bullpen arms because you're going to have to get bullpen help.
No, we need a DH. I would like to get Schwarber and we'll be able to get Alonzo back.
So, but I don't see Schwarber coming back because if Philadelphia is doing what they're doing, if you're Schwarber, why would you want to go to New York? I'm playing on a team that's hot, like
for more money.
He maybe doesn't want money. Maybe he just wants.
Excuse me. What did you say? Oh, so if he wants to win a chip, maybe that he sees that the Mets are going in the right direction and Philadelphia's going in the wrong direction because Philadelphia's getting old.
But
it's not going to be easier for them. It's going to be easier for the Mets to win a championship right after this year.
No, that's true. But if Philadelphia goes on a run.
They can win it this year. They can totally win it this year.
They can win this year, right? And they're like, you know what?
Nah, they'll dump everything.
Likes him. Let's just give you extra money. You know, take the losses if we have to. They might just give him another money.
They'll dump everything. They'll dump everything. If they win a championship with this team again, they'll dump everything.
Maybe. That's true. That's a good point. If they win it, then yes.
Remember, because they would do. Yeah, if they lose, they might try again. Because you know, but if they win, they can dump everything and say, "All right, now we can start the new, you know, the rebirth of the Phillies." You know what I'm saying?
Because have Schwarber as first base or DH.
Oh man,
vice versa, or rotate.
No. I would make Schwarber the DH, and then I would keep Alonzo at first, and then you know, once in a blue moon. You know, do the swap. Once in a blue moon. But that would be a great look for us, man. If you know what's 50 home runs on top of the other 40 something that fucking Soto's gonna hit, plus another 30 from, you know what I'm saying, Alonso, maybe 40, and then another 30 something from Lindor, you know? And we're talking, man. And then, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 from the other guys, like something small, you know. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, the other hot team is the Philadelphia Phillies. They've been lights out since the trade deadline. They clinched the division. They clinched the playoff spot. Actually,
sure
I don't know if they
did.
Yeah,
they won the division.
They won the division 2 years in a row. So you know, what do you call it? So yeah, they won the division and
bro, they swept the Mets in the four-game series. They just destroyed us, bro.
Yeah, so now the Phillies, they basically, if they want to, now that they are playing for seeding in the playoffs, so they still have something to play for as far as who's the
number
first
one
and
seed.
Second. Looks like Milwaukee's going to run away with that. So they're going to be a second seed. So they're going to have to.
What are you talking about? How could you say that right now? They basically have the same record. They both have a 92-59, right? And the other
91-61.
It's the same fucking record, so, bro. There's 12 games left. Get out of here with that shit. We're fucking fighting that shit out all the way.
So
to
they're
the
waiting for the one. Because remember, in baseball, if you get the number one spot,
Excuse me. And don't forget that. Milwaukee could lose the next two series, and Chicago could come out of nowhere and fucking take the division.
Yeah,
they clinched a wild spot through the wild card. You know what I'm saying? They didn't clinch. The division is still up for grabs, all right? So don't get it twisted.
Yeah, no.
The division is still up for grabs. So like 88 and 92, that's very close as well. And there's enough games for something fucked up to happen. You know what I'm saying? So that's up for grabs too. So that's exciting baseball there as well, you know? And then you got the Detroit Tigers. I'm going to say they ran away with it. Cleveland's not going to go anywhere.
Oh, the Central sucks.
Yeah, well.
And Cleveland's not going to make it. Kansas City, they're not going to make it. The White Sox. So yeah. They basically got a free. Basically, they had an easy path to making the playoffs.
And the West has a great.
The West and the East are the American League East and the West are the two teams that are going to go down to the wire. Those are going to go down to the wire. That's why for the Yankees, you got to sweep Baltimore, because if you lose 3 out of 4 to Baltimore, which I'm praying that they do, and Toronto plays Kansas City, which is a good chance, you know, they're going to need those games at Kansas City, so they're going to win those games. So if Baltimore helps out the Blue Jays, I want to see Blue Jays win because I hate the Yankees more than the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays are like the team. They're like the Orioles. You feel sorry for them. And you want
I don't feel sorry for them. I don't know what happened to them. They just started playing baseball, but I don't hate them.
I don't hate the Yankees.
I don't even hate the Phillies. I like the Phillies. Everybody says, oh, the Phillies. I like the Phillies. I like their squad. I like their villains, bro. I like the way the vibe, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I can't explain it to you, but the Phillies are the Phillies.
They remind me of the 2021 Atlanta Braves. They just were magical, and they got hot at the right time, and it's what it seems like over there now. They're a fun team to watch.
I don't like Atlanta at all. Fuck Atlanta.
Well, you don't like Atlanta. They always have your number, but
it's not about that. I don't like the team. Because if the Phillies just raped us, and I'm still cool with them, you know what I'm saying? I still like the dynamic of the team, you know what I'm saying? I like what they bring to the table. I like them. But it's okay.
And then, like I said, the Milwaukee Brewers, they're the first team to clinch the postseason berth.
Team was the Phillies this year?
No, the best
Phillies was the first. The first team was the Phillies to clinch.
I thought it was the Brewers.
No, it was the Phillies. The Phillies were the first team to clinch. I believe. I'm almost 100% sure about that. Oh, well, they clinched the division. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Nobody else has claimed the division.
They didn't clinch the division.
Who, the Phillies? No, the Brewers clinched the division. They didn't. That's what I'm saying. But oh, the Phillies are the first team to take the division.
They're the first team to they're the first team to take the division, but technically the Brewers clinched a playoff spot. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah, sure. So I know but, with Chicago, but I'm saying they have the it's not over yet.
Philadelphia is the first team to win the division, is what you're saying. There's those are two different things.
Things. Exactly. Yeah,
you know. But anyway,
I think it's time. It's time for the pitcher and the hitter.
So, I saw the interesting. We're gonna get into the Mets, but I just found this article. They're just basically saying how I think the issue was that they don't have a good chemistry. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not in the locker room. I don't know. They just seemed very different than last year. I think Soto's going to be the same
team
next year.
It's not even the same team. It's not even close to the same team. Last year's team was
what major subtractions did you have other than Iglesias, you know?
I mean, it's not even about that. It's about how the lineup was structured, you know what I'm saying? How, you know, the rotation was put
together.
The rotation
was the big difference. You know what I'm saying? I agree with that.
And everything was different, bro. Everything made sense. Everybody had their job. Nobody was taking time from another player just because they wanted to give them playing time. That's how I feel this year's going. I feel like this is a joke, and I don't like it. Last year, everybody had there was more structure to the team. You know what I'm saying? Mm. We were dangerous in a lot of different spots and areas, and we didn't need Juan Soto. Yeah, granted, Juan Soto, you know, he did okay. You know, he finally kind of like figured it out.
He had a good season, 30-30.
He put the numbers up. For his first year as a Met. I mean, listen, we're talking about a guy that never had problems hitting anywhere. For some reason, he came here, he had problems hitting. You know what I'm saying? So that goes to say.
Well, he started off slow.
I mean,
it's like Lindor when he first came. So I don't see an issue.
Yeah. That's true.
Now here's the thing. This is what you got him for. How is he going to do in the postseason? Is he going to be like what he did in the Yankees last year? He was on fire and he was carrying them? Or is he just going to completely fall off the face of the earth and be like, Soto, who's that? I didn't know he was on the Mets.
Get the fuck out. That's not going to happen. You know why? That's not what's going to happen. You know why? Because, listen, in a playoff situation, he's a threat in so many different ways. Listen, if you don't want to pitch to him, he's not going to swing at it. He's not going to swing at it. If it's not in his wheelhouse, he's not going to swing at it.
He doesn't chase shit,
all right? So let me explain something to you. So you know what that means? That every time Soto comes up to bat, he's going to get on base. We got something to work with. We got a man on base. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what anybody says. In a playoff situation, with men on base, with no outs, you're not pitching to Soto. You're going to walk him. If you have an open base, you're walking him. And you know what?
And you're taking chances against Alonso,
and that's a mistake too. You know what I'm saying? Or Lindor. Pick your poison. But this is why I say that the team can definitely switch it up in the playoffs. I think if they catch the spark, that's over for everybody. Guaranteed.
So, speaking of the Mets, I think you got to look at which guys, because remember, what people don't know for baseball, in the postseason, you can choose who makes the postseason roster and who does not. So the one guy I know for sure is not going to make the postseason roster is Manaea. Of course,
Manaea is going to make the postseason.
He's been terrible.
Nah, he'll make it. You know why? Because he has the experience. And guess what? He's a lefty. You know what I'm saying? And when you go up against the Dodgers who don't hit lefty, you know what I'm saying? You need that arm on you. You know what I'm saying? And you have Peterson as well. You know what I'm saying? And if you go seven games, definitely not. He's not going into the bullpen because he's one of the few out of the rotation that can actually go seven innings with no problem. And he's another lefty, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you need these lefties. Lefties make a difference in the playoffs. Lefties are hard to hit, bro. And if man, listen, like you said that I should be saying, you know, I want to be in the playoffs and I'm already making plans for it then. But we're coming down to it. So we need the pitcher and the hitter of the week, Lash. Talk to me.
So the hitter of the week is Josh Bell of the Washington Nationals on September 8th versus Miami in Washington's 15-7 win. Josh Bell went
crazy.
4-for-6, 2 home runs, six RBIs and three runs. That's pretty impressive for a team that's
for an old man. Nah, it's pretty impressive for an old man.
He's considered old in baseball years. You know, he came up with the Pirates and was great with them, and now he's bounced around for a while. He was in he was a part of the trade from San Diego to get Soto, remember?
Yep.
And him and Abrams and so on and so on. And then the other guy, the gunslinger of the week, is Gerrit Crochet of the Red Sox, who are just hanging on. They're probably going to make the playoffs.
They're probably not going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. No problem.
I said they're probably going to make the playoffs.
Oh, definitely.
No, going to make the playoffs. They're going to get in there.
They're definitely going to get in there.
Yeah, the gunslinger of the week is Gerrit Crochet against versus the A's, whatever you want to call them, Los Angeles, Las Vegas.
Sacramento A's, whatever.
Yeah, you know, he went in a 7-0 win against them. He went 7 innings, 3 hits, allowed 0 runs and 10 strikeouts.
That's fucking amazing.
And that's what you need. That's
in a playoff situation. Exactly.
Because they're going to be in a wild card team. They're going to be a 3-game race. So if you can have him start one of your games, you just need to win two more games. You just need one more game, you know.
Perfect. It's perfect.
And then the trivia question. I kind of like this one. I didn't know the answer to this, but anyway, who was the first American League team that Nolan Ryan pitched for? Remember, he pitched for the Astros.
Yeah, I know that. But you know what?
At the time, they were part of the National League.
Yeah, but I remember that I had a baseball card, bro. I was very big on baseball cards. I had
over me too.
500, 6,000. No, I wish.
Where'd you put it? I lost mine. Man.
I don't know. I lost mine too. My mom probably threw them shits out in the garbage. You know what I'm saying?
You think so?
I didn't keep.
Dude, imagine if you had those cards. How much money you could get nowadays?
Oh my god!
If we only knew better. If we only knew.
If we only knew.
My goodness.
In good condition. They weren't in good condition, but I had so many. But listen, bro, I remember having this baseball card, and he pitched for the Angels, bro. I remember that.
The,
I had a lot of old school.
They're California Angels.
Yep, I remember that. I remember that funny hat they wore too,
with the wings on the side of the A.
No, that was way later. This was a pointy A with a halo on top.
They still have that, don't they?
Yeah, they do. That's like but not quite like this. It was a lot bigger. It was a little. No, the A was a lot smaller in a way. It was weird, but it's similar to that. But this is more of a new look for it.
Remember when the Angels were good in the early 2000s when they had the rally monkey? Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Vladimir Guerrero and all these other guys.
They had a really
good team. That was before Trout got there. And they were good, man. I remember, man, them in the playoffs. I was like, man, this team is always good. But anyway, that's the end of the episode. We got a week and 4 days left of the season. This year we're planning on
expanding
playoffs through the postseason.
The whole
way.
It's going to be fun. That's going to be fun as fuck. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, we might be able to do it. We might be able to do it during an actual live game. Just watch the game. Just break down the game as it's going on.
That'll be great.
You know, that might be better because we don't have to look for content. We can just go off. you know what I mean? We can just, because now you're just going off of your raw opinions and emotions and you get our point of view of what's going on. Kind of like a play-by-play, but more like a analytical breaking down, what we see. It's not play-by-play, but, just telling you what's going on. But, we'll also have content. But there's teams that are, providing content. Next week's episode, it's going to be about who's in and who's out, who's real, who's not, because we're going to know by Wednesday. that Wednesday is the most teams, it will be the break between the second to last series for the season, So for the Orioles, we play the Yankees. Who do you guys play in the last?
Chicago. Braves? Chicago Cubs, and then Miami, yeah.
So you got to win. So for the Mets, you got to win those games because Chicago's done. They already played, So there's a good chance they're just gonna,
Nah, they're not gonna do that. They're still fighting for the division, bro.
That's true. So I take that back. So that's gonna be hard. But Miami, they got nothing to play for. But Miami might want to play spoiler. They're a tough team. you know.
Yeah, of course they're going to play Spoiler. You know, nobody wants to tank on their record. You know what I'm saying? Listen, bro, I'm up the bat. I'm trying to keep my average up. You know what I'm saying? Listen, right now the Mets are losing 6-4 with men on second. Juan Soto just struck out looking, and there's two outs, and Alonso's up the bat. If Alonso hits a home run, we tie the ball game.
It's a tie game.
That's what I'm talking about. So we're not going to hang up just yet, but as soon as he strikes out, because I know I'm a Mets fan, you know, we're going to be playing this music, and we're going to be saying, have a good night, and we'll definitely see you on the next one. But we're going to wait for Alonso to strike out because he has two strikes right now, one ball and two strikes. Mm-hmm. Two outs, we're not second. Alonso, Cedric Mullins at second, on second, by second. A hit, 6-5 maybe. You know what I'm saying? I'll take any one of those.
I just can't believe with Mullins how he's only had one home run since he came to the Mets. It's been so shocking.
Pretty crazy. What I told you, Alonso struck out swinging. You have a good night, brother. Peace.
Well, we'll see you next week. Good work, and see ya.
See ya, brother.